Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Big Shoe. We got your calls at 803-0930. We're talking about the post office. Letter carriers have been calling in. Census workers have been calling in. Earlier I made the point of, the mail-in ballot thing, you can have your partisan argument. You could say Trump is sabotaging the Postal Service, Biden is the hero, or vice versa. I don't care about that. But someone who questions 100% blanketed mail-in balloting, it's a legitimate question. We have census workers that are knocking on the door, and there's 12 people live in a house that doesn't have walls. No one lives there. We should have accurate numbers. Though Tom Puckett had a brilliant news, Randy Bush over before him, thank those guys. But one of the things they brought up was Amazon possibly coming to Medina, and Randy Bush over and I are big fans of Orleans County, so that would be awesome. But the second thing I heard on the news, and we'll get back to your calls and postal workers here about the Postal Service, the turkey trot this year will be virtual. What do you want to bet on the authenticity of those run times this year, huh?
See, that's come why, on. That's why I wish it was like a lot of these virtual ones where you have to download the app so you can't make up how come you ran it.
By the way, I did the Tour de France yesterday on my stationary bike.
How did that go?
I got second place.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, thank
why
you.
Why aren't you wearing the yellow coat?
Because that was for phases 1 through 12. I don't know. Don't they have like the different shirts that they wear?
Rob Lucas is the only one I know that knows about the Tour de France.
I was all into the Tour de France when Lance Armstrong was hopped up on goof pills or whatever he was doing. You know, when I hear those stories about like people doing the testosterone, the HGH, I'm thinking, man, you really want to entertain me. Like, that's such a beautiful thing. Like, you're willing to kill yourself just to make me like smile for 5 seconds during a wrestling match. Like, Triple H, these guys drop dead at like 52.
Oh, yeah.
Their hearts explode.
Triple H is still alive, by the way.
Not for long, judging by his routine. I'm saying, look, man, if you are going to put that stuff into your body, you have got to be aware of the damage it's going to do. And young people think you live in the now, and then guess what? You know, those steroids and testosterone, if you're not a doctor, don't be messy. What do we have to put this public service announcement out? Please don't mess with your body chemistry. Remember, the more you know, NBC cares about you.
I like how this went
from... What are you putting HGH in your system? From a guy that, hey, this is used on horses in Russia. Well, please put that through my jugular. I'd love to have that swimming through my system.
I've seen those Russian horses. I need that right now.
You know, the guy with the Conan Barbarian hair at the gym, he seems credible. So yeah, I took a couple needles out of his lunch pail and rammed them into my butt cheek. I think he's credible. I think this, whatever he sold me here in Buffalo, no doctor degree. Anyone who would put that into their system, you are killing yourself. And not only that, you don't even know who these people are. They're not... Breaking Bad was a television show. There's no scientist that's making perfect crystal meth. Nobody has great HGH or testosterone that you meet in an LA Fitness parking lot, I assure you. You're playing with your life in their hands. It's stupid.
You remind me of the West German and Russian female.
Right.
At least they show up like, you know, totally ripped.
Back in the day when steroids was just like, what do you mean? Lyle Ozado, a 48-year-old could bench press Rhode Island.
Sure.
What do you do? Lyle Ozado was like literally doing steroids while denying it. He would have like a needle in his leg and be like, what are you talking about? Have you ever seen that Pumped Up documentary with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
That is just like a love letter to steroids. Everyone is on steroids. They're bleeding through their underwear. Like nobody even like acknowledged, like no one cared. And how many heart surgeries has Arnold Schwarzenegger had? His heart almost blew up when he was making a movie. He's struggled with that stuff.
I didn't know that.
That'll destroy your body.
It's amazing to me that before the entire MLB crackdown, how popular steroids were in all sports in this country.
Hey, listen, man, Dwayne The Rock Johnson seems like one of the coolest guys in the world. He loves the military. You know, I hope to God he's clean, and that's what the physique. But from someone who works out as much as I possibly can, there's something going on with Dwayne Johnson's inventory there. I mean,
just protein.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying that guy is a super talented guy. He seems like a really good guy, and it would be tragic if, you know, if we lose those guys so young. You know what I mean? He's one of the good guys, and it's just there's no way you can maintain that at that age and be clean.
So we started at the turkey trot.
But yeah, we're talking about the turkey trot.
We're talking about steroids.
There are no steroids.
I have to ask you this. Do steroid players that tested positive, belong in the Baseball Hall of Fame? I think they do.
Yeah, at this point, because of how many people were using them and you can't determine who used them and who didn't, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
And the fact that Pete Rose was doing like 45 black beauties before the second half of a doubleheader. I mean, those guys were on speed, barbiturates, everything in the 70s.
Pete Rose also belongs in the Hall of
Fame. Mike Schmidt would tell us, we had a pitcher that threw a no-hitter on acid.
Yeah.
Mike Schmidt would be like doing rails on the side of the dugout and going out there and catching line drive. Craig Nettles had incredible reflexes. Yeah. Cocaine at Studio 54 will do that. Those guys were all on stuff. It's ridiculous. Anyway, let's go to the phones. We're talking about the Postal Service. A little bit of a jaunt into the unknown realm. Paul in Buffalo, go ahead, sir. Hey, Paul, you there?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hey, listen, I was talking about the Postal Service. I received months ago the census? I sent it in immediately. So far, I've got two more notices that I haven't sent one in. And you had a census guy on just now, and what happened to my census? Get lost in the mail?
Oh, man. Paul's got the double whammy on that one. You
know, and yesterday I noticed, I live quite a ways off the road, I see a woman walking up and down the road looking at mailboxes, because I've got a mailbox by the road. And I see her walking back and forth, and I see her again, and she takes the picture of my house. Then she goes over to my neighbor and everything outside, and so I inquired later. I went and walked over and says, "Who is that woman?" She says, "She's from the Census Bureau." Now, she was looking for a number that doesn't even exist on this road here.
Right.
And I'm asking her, I like to ask that census guy that you talked to earlier, why is she taking pictures of my house?
Well, you know what? They have a confidentiality agreement. I know it's weird. I'm sure there was a purpose for that. They claim that everything in their little app that they use when they're working for the census is then deleted and destroyed. But again, it is weird, Paul. I'm not going to get, you know, it would be weirder if they left with a bag of your garbage. That would be weirder. But no, the taking a picture of your house is strange, and they should explain why they're doing it. But, the census folks that I meet, these people, they deserve much higher pay than they're getting, because that is during COVID, no one even wants to talk to you. Literally, nobody wants to talk to you during COVID. As a stranger, you knock on someone's door in Orleans County, it's never a good thing. Chris in Lancaster, go ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you for your service, David.
I appreciate it, Chris.
Give you a little bit of background. I worked for the post office for 40 years. Before that, I was in the Air Force, and I was the legislative representative for our branch in the Buffalo area.
Hey, can I just, want to stop you for a second. If you retire from the Air Force, how many years would you have to work at the post office to get both retirements? Is it like 20 and 10?
No, you still have to work around 30, 35 years total.
But are you getting retirement from the Air Force and the Postal Service?
No, I had only been in the service for 4 years. That rolled into my post office.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going.
All right. So I was the legislative representative for 20 years for the branch in Buffalo. And a lot of the things that are the problems with the post office are due to Congress and their legislation. For one, they have the unfunded liability, which is franking rights that the congressmen and the senators and the president all have franking rights that they can just send a letter with their signature where the stamp's supposed to be. And then the post office turns around and says, okay, you owe us this much money for your franking rights. And the Congress comes back and says, what, are you kidding me? And they give you half of what you asked for. The other thing is that the pre-funded liability for the retirement health care, and that's like billions of dollars every quarter that they have to give to the government so that they can pre-fund the health care for retired postal people. So that's a lot of the problem right there. Their post office is the only industry that the government has that makes money or is allowed to make money. IRS collects it. But
right, right. No, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Chris, what did you do in the Air Force? What was your job?
I was a weather observer.
Are you glad you joined?
Oh, yeah. I am proud of the fact that I went into the service, and I enjoyed the time that I was there.
Well, thanks for doing it, and thanks for setting the bar high. I appreciate you, Chris, and Lancaster. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Those, you get an advantage for having federal service when you apply for a government job. But there are people that retire from the military and then go into federal service, like the post office, and they, you know, it's an incredible retirement once you put the years in. But that's a pretty good transition. David in Cheektowaga, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
I just want to address a couple issues. You've been talking a lot today about, you know, fraud and mail-in voting and how this thing's a political football. And you talked a little bit about the census and the percentages of Americans that do and don't use that. You know, I just wanted to make some overall general comments, you know, that, again, number one, the majority of Americans want, you know, mail-in voting or voting at home. You know, that's got nothing to do with, you know, what political, you know, side of the aisle you're on or anything like that. Americans are telling their government, you know, that's how they want to do that. Number two, the census and mail-in voting. Again, very similar things. All you're doing there is you're offering the public, you know, multiple ways to get that information back to the government. And again, in a democracy, you know, one would think in order to elect your leadership, and like you said, your point's well taken as far as the census and its importance, you know, you want as many people in the country making, you know, that decision as possible.
Right. And because of that, it's even more important that we make sure that people aren't taking advantage of the system. So with the same passion of allowing every American that's legally, you know, allowed to vote, should vote and should be given every opportunity to vote, we also have to take the seriousness of that vote and safeguard it. And we know for a fact that when you have 116% of a precinct reporting and nobody has voted on the Board of Election precincts in 4 years, that is an irregular number. And that should be investigated, not looked at as these people are really fired up about a candidate. There's a possibility these people didn't vote. That's a problem.
And as far as your in-person voting, again, at the ballot box, you know, when people show up, or as opposed to voting by absentee or voting from home, that fraud rate is extremely similar. The fraud rate in the country overall for voting is very low. And obviously, kudos to the country for having, you know, that very low fraud rate. But to continue to pound away that somehow mail-in voting or absentee voting or whatever we want to call it is somehow more susceptible to fraud than, for example, in-person voting, just simply it's not true.
But again, though, I think there's almost like a projected insecurity coming from the post office, as if it is fraudulent, it's somehow you're fraudulent or you have done something wrong. I'm saying that if you do a mass mailing to every American, and that piece of paper that they received, that every American received, can be used by anyone to obtain something, an objective or an agenda, that always has to be looked at as if it's not claimed and it's sitting around. How can I prove in a court of law that a stack of ballots that didn't get delivered shows up at a Board of Elections in Erie County? You can't make that determination because your Board of Election rolls have not been cleared out of people that aren't alive, aren't living somewhere, or aren't eligible to vote.
Absolutely, there should be.
So, but making that argument without statistical, and because we've never done this before, David,
Correct.
So we've never done it before. So without making any statistical claim, it's fair to say that this is more probable to have fraud committed in it than an absentee process. And I don't think that's a partisan thing to say. I don't think that's a pro-Trump or a pro-Biden thing to say.
That general number, no matter what it is, like you said, that percentage is bound to go up. You know,
right. But I mean, if that statement was made instead of saying mail-in balloting will result, the statement should be made, the chances of fraud and abuse are greater with mail-in balloting blanketing everyone than with absentee. I think people can say that without hyperbole.
Well, again, you've got to remember, you've got safeguards in place. And when we're talking about whether, you know, that's here locally in the state of New York or across the country, you know, why again, as postal employees, we're big proponents of the mail-in system is, look, each one of those letters, there's a barcode sprayed on there.
No. So, but again, David, I'm not saying that the potential fraud is going to occur during the postal process.
Correct.
The fraud occurs when you do your job because you always do your job. That letter is going to go to that park bench. I'm just saying no one lives there.
Right.
So that's the problem. It's not the post office, you know, having an agenda or doing something unethical. It's that you are going to do your job and everyone's going to get a ballot and they're going to sit around and the abandoned ballots will be picked up by someone and voted. And that is not the American system. So I think we agree on that. And thank you for your service in the post office. Let's go to CJ in Buffalo. CJ, go ahead, sir.
Oh, CJ, ma'am.
Oh, ma'am. I'm sorry, CJ. Go ahead. I apologize.
Good morning, and welcome to the morning show.
Well, thank you, CJ. I apologize for profiling you.
to me, it doesn't make any sense that the White House and the GOP is blocking post office funding. If they're so worried about election fraud, it seems that they would want to increase funding to make sure that it's a fair election.
Right, but the other side of that, CJ, to be fair, the other argument is you only want the funding to facilitate mail-in balloting. So what Trump is saying is, like, all non-budget items right now are going to be frozen until November. That this should also be frozen until November because you're specifically only using it for the mail-in balloting. That's his argument. You can disagree with it and you could say it's garbage, but I'm saying that's the argument.
Well, it's a different world. We're in the middle of a pandemic. This has never happened before. I think we just have to, you know, think on our feet.
But do you honestly believe that the reason why Chuck Schumer showed up to Buffalo was because he was concerned about the union and the postal workers, or is this more connected?
That isn't even a
but I mean, like, politics. See, the problem we're in is that everything is political. Like, you could say Josh Allen shouldn't be the starting quarterback, and I'm going to say you support Black Lives Matter, you're a joke. It's nothing we talk about doesn't get sucked into the vortex of Biden Trump.
But the post office, like Social Security, the post office is not political. The post office is a service guaranteed by the Constitution?
No, I'm not saying the post office is political. I'm saying that right now, political people are using the post office like they're using civil rights, like they're using everything, because Trump wants to get elected, Biden wants to get elected. Everything is being hijacked, and sober conversations like we're having don't get had because we're not screaming at each other about our candidates. And we do miss the point. CJ, here's the most important statistic. Since 2007, a forever stamp has only gone up 14 cents.
Right.
And think of everything that has happened on your phone since 2007. Your phone bill has gone up 200%.
And in 2006, that's when the post office had to guarantee pension funds for the next...
That's right. So think about that. In 13 years... Everything that has changed, it's not crazy to pay $200 for a phone bill, your cable, your all these bills that happened. What was that 13 years ago? Technology increased, everyone else raised their bills and their prices, and the post office can still deliver to California for 55 cents. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but isn't it fabulous?
It is fabulous. It's amazing, but it's a very difficult thing to argue, anyone to argue that this is, you could run this like a business.
Well, no, it was never intended to be a business. And you've had two callers before me. I think Paul was one. He just nailed it. Yes, the post office is a right. It's not a business. It's a right established by our Constitution. And it was never intended to make money. Just like you could say, like, the Air Force or the Navy or the Army, those are services too.
If you want to go into white collar jail, there are a lot of people doing heavy terms for screwing around with the post office. They have an inspection arm in the post office that is extremely powerful.
Yes.
And if you screw around with the mail in America, you're done.
Oh, yes. And as far as mail in elections, I worked at the local election board. They do screen for signatures. You know, we are trained. I worked in another government agency, and we screened for signatures.
Right. There's really no reason, though, in modern America, when you're showing your ID to, you know, get your sling taken off your arm, there's no reason why in the United States, if I got to get a library card and show that I want to read Gone with the Wind and show my ID, I need to be able to do that when I vote. I don't think that's being racist to say that.
No, but some places, well, not so much in New York State, but some, as far as ID, they want photo ID. So you can't go in there with a library card.
Do you know a person in your life that doesn't have photo ID?
Oh, of course.
Who?
Of course.
No, don't give me names, but just tell me their age and their demographics.
Oh, that's not fair.
I'm just telling you, it's not black people. And we've been told for a very long time that black people in the city don't have access to photo ID. And I think that's outrageously racist.
Well, Medicaid cards. Medicaid cards and food stamp cards, 10 years ago, you didn't have to have a photo ID.
Right.
As their cases come back for renewal, then they get a photo ID. But there's probably thousands and thousands.
I'm telling you, there are reasons that black people have IDs with photos on them that have nothing to do with food stamps and EBT cards. They have photo IDs because they're functioning members of our society, and everyone needs a photo ID card. And I think that when we start saying that black people don't have this and white people have that, it's not really where we should be in our dialogue. But you are a wonderful person, and I appreciate your phone call. God bless you. CJ, we'll be back after this. Welcome back to the program.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You can stay on hold. We'll get your calls. You can talk about whatever you want to, actually, post office, or about what we're going to talk about right now, and that's the top songs in America. You folks, what are the kids listening to? Well, we're going to play you the top three songs in America today, and then we're going to go back in time and just to show you how music has changed and whether or not you can actually enjoy music of today and respect it for what it is. The artistry that is at hand. So, Joe, what is the top three in music
today? Well, David, first I have to say, there was one artist that was in the top five twice last week.
Right.
Not even in the top five once this week. And that's Taylor Swift. Whoa. Both of her songs have dropped down, Cardigan to eighth, and The One dropped 19 places down to 23rd. So your top three songs, we'll start with number three. Didn't move from anywhere last week. It's What's Poppin' with DaBaby and Jack Harlow. So this song has not moved in the last week.
This is number three song in America.
The number three song in America. Number two, DaBaby. He's still here twice. It is DaBaby, Rockstar. Has not moved since last week.
I've heard this.
Yeah. I actually heard it on the way to work this morning.
It all the time, yeah. All right, what's the number one song?
The number one song up six spots. It's 20th week on the charts. It is Harry Styles, Watermelon Sugar.
All right, Harry Styles of formerly of One Direction.
Yeah, up six from seven last week on its 20th week. It took 20 weeks.
All right, so if we go back in time, let's go back, well, how many years?
All right, well, David, do you want to go back 14 years or do you want to go back 47 years?
14 years ago today, what was the number three song?
The number three song, it was Nelly Furtado. She was not just known for I'm Like a Bird. Promiscuous. Nelly Furtado, Timbaland. Huge song the summer of my senior year.
Huge. All right, what was two?
Number two, Crazy, Gnarls Barkley. Very overplayed.
That guy, I tell you what, CeeLo Green has got one of the most incredible voices I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
That guy can wail. I mean, that guy is incredible. What else? What was number one?
Number one, up four spots from the week before, only the third week on the charts, Fergie, London Bridge.
Fergie. All right, how many years ago? We're going 40?
Now we're
going
to go back 47 years ago.
47 years ago today.
Number three, it was
1973.
And number three, the ninth week on the charts, the same as the week before, Brother Louie from The Stories.
And also the theme of the Louie CK show.
That's right, for you. On FX.
All right, what was number two in 1973?
Number two, it was its seventh week on the charts. Didn't move anywhere from last week. Paul McCartney and Wings.
It's hard to compete with McCartney. That's tough. All right, what was the number one song in 1973?
Number one, Diana Ross, up three spots, 12th week on the charts. Touch Me in the Morning.
I'll tell you, she still does casinos and everything at her age. She's really incredible. All right, now, Hulu, Amazon, what is coming out this weekend?
All right, the top three on Netflix have changed. Everything I mentioned last week, not in the top 10 this morning when I took a look. So the number one show right now, I'm sorry, it's the number one movie on Netflix right now. It's called The Lost Husband. It's a looking to start anew. A widow retreats with her children to her aunt's goat farm, where the ranch manager helps her navigate country life and loss.
All right.
The top series on Netflix right now, The Umbrella Academy. I've heard a lot about this. Two-season Netflix original. That is number two this morning on Netflix. And number three, get the kids. This is kids-friendly. Mr. Peabody and Sherman. It's 6 years old, but David, this morning, it's third in the country on Netflix.
Wow. I wonder what that says. What does that even mean? And what about Hulu, Amazon? Just what are the top shows on those ones?
Hulu, on Amazon and Hulu, it's actually not originals this week. Last week, the Al Pacino show was still number one on
the
Amazon.
The Hunters.
Yeah. But right now, number one on Hulu, believe it or not, is The Office. And I don't get it. You can go to Comedy Central anytime,
I'm telling you,
as long as it's not Wednesday.
There is a generation of millennial that watch that every single day in their dorms and in high school, and it's like a religion.
But you can turn on Comedy Central as long as it's not Wednesday and get The Office.
But there's a generation that is their Seinfeld.
So Hulu losing The Office in December, so they're obviously taking advantage of that. And on Amazon, the top show on Amazon right now, and I'm not making this up, go to Prime, go check it. Number one trending, season 5 of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Maybe that's crazy.
And the number one thing I'm watching right now, I just discovered it. It's something I used to watch way back in the day, but they just put it on Hulu, How It's Made from the Science Channel.
I wonder if that SpongeBob being number one has anything to do with the $8 million seized at the border of weed. That explains everything. But SpongeBob again, so people feel nostalgic in times of bad times.
Yeah.
They feel nostalgic. We talk about the Bills in the, in the glory years. In the sports world, Tony, what do you got your eye on this weekend?
Well, probably, we were going to talk about the ripple effect with sports being canceled. We had a conversation yesterday in the newsroom about that. And you think about things that actually you probably don't think about. Depression, anxiety that kids are suffering because they're not going to play their sports. Tim was talking about his daughter, really disappointed that, she wants to enjoy the campus life. And I don't know if you guys remember, on college game day, you're even if you have Buff State, it was exciting to go to a game and do it. And that's gone
away. It's all
gone. Play game in the dorms.
Right.
In the country, kids that don't go to college will set a bonfire, get around with their friends, do whatever. You take that element, that socializing at that age, I mean, it's where people find boyfriends and girlfriends, husbands and wives. They meet in college, they meet at a game, they go somewhere.
Oh, it's a great date. You go to your school's thing. And then you look at kids that they're going to learn, and this is, something I've been going back and forth with some of my coaching friends, is that are we going to have kids that are going to learn that, I could just sit in my room, play on TikTok and on my gadgets rather than go outside, run, sign up for a team. So are we going to lose kids that would normally play sports?
When am I going to ever get a chance to paint my face sociably again if they cancel?
Or go
I'll
a
never
table.
Do that.
If you're David Putty at a Devil's game, I guess.
Right? No, but Tony, the point you bring up where, kids get structure in sports, obviously. But, you get out your frustration, too.
Right.
And let's be honest. I mean, we're going to talk about this eventually, but, one of the main reasons why Americans are suffering fatalities through COVID is we have an obesity problem.
I was just going to bring that up.
We talk about young people and, you're a big kid and you're playing offensive tackle and you're using that size. But if you don't get those kids out there working this time of year, they could fall into some really bad habits.
Ran into one of my players a couple weeks ago, went watch a baseball game, and he put on a lot of weight. He said, "Yeah, coach, I got fat. All I've been doing is sitting around eating." Kids aren't getting out and getting the exercise.
It's sad. It really is.
42% of this country is obese, right? 42%. And that's before all of this. Who knows, with gyms not being open in this state? This state, by the way, close to 50% obese. And in this county, over 50%. But like you said, a different show for a different day.
The spokesperson of Bison Chip Dip was not available for comment.
But everyone's looking at Switzerland, right? And how or was it Sweden? I can't
Sweden.
Remember. Sweden. And how they didn't even do a full lockdown and how they've been able to not have the death percentage that the United States has. It might have something to do with Sweden having under 10% of an obesity issue.
And they didn't get a second wave either.
Well, but neither here nor there. The point is that we're always talking about young people and their habits and getting out there, playing more sports, budget cuts in physical education, and sports is a huge part of that. So, again, we brought up this earlier in the week, is that if everything is virtual, you're going to do these one-on-one sports virtual, right? I mean, theoretically, you could do a gymnastic floor routine without being physically there. right? You could do other sports, weightlifting or, you know, but competitive sports are competitive and they have to be with an opponent and they have to, they don't have to be viewed by people, but they have to be participants.
And some kids are motivated by being out there with their friend.
Exactly.
So if they don't have that motivation, they're just going to sit in their room and play video games or you know.
And let's be honest, a lot of these, some of these kids, I'm not going to say a lot, but some of these kids are from really bad communities. And sports is a way to not be home and to be involved in things that you don't have any control over, but your community is going through, you know, violence or whatever the situation is, and now you're a part of it because you don't have a place to go.
Well, that same player that I was just telling you about, he's used to gun violence on his street. There was times he'd miss practice because he couldn't get off the bus. There was a shootout on his block. So when he would come to practice or game day, he felt loved. He ate all day. He was taken care of all day with his friends and the coaches that he loved. That's what's taken, that's taken away from him.
Let's go to the phones. You can talk about this, the top music. You can talk about what you're watching on Hulu, Amazon, or you can get back to the post office. Whatever you want. It's Friday. Let's go to Ken in Lockport. Ken, you're up first. What's up?
Hello, David.
How you doing, sir? What's on your mind?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to say over radio. It's been a long time since I called a radio talk show. But anyway, I just wanted to comment that I'm sorry that I couldn't tell you how sad I was to lose your father. He mentored me personally.
That's really kind of you, Ken. I appreciate you saying that.
You probably would know me if you saw me.
Right. No, that's very good of you. He was a wonderful man and a great father, and I appreciate you saying that. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I hear all these people comments and, you know, a couple of comments from the people, from the postal workers who seem to be offended that when we're talking about the possibility of voter fraud, that that if they don't do their, or if they do their jobs, it won't happen. But kind of you stole my thunder, actually, by pointing out that it's not them doing their job. It's the fact that if they do their job, all mail-in ballots are going to go to all kinds of places where they shouldn't, places where people have moved away, people have died, and all those other things. So I totally agree with that. But the one thing that the one lady said to you that really rubs me, and of course, we hear it every day, friends of mine, I'm a full-time RVer now, so I'm in Western New York visiting family and friends, and when we got back to New York State, some of our friends who have been scared to death by this supposed pandemic really disheartened me just for their sakes. And you know what, the governor, Christie, what's her last name, of South Dakota?
Yeah.
That's the first time, that was the first time that a politician had the gumption to stand at a podium and at microphones and just say what, like, with.
Well, there's a lot of them out there, and you know, a lot of people, this COVID has brought them onto the main stage, and some shine and some falter. But, Ken, I appreciate your kind words. Thank you for calling in. Mark at Buffalo, what's on your mind, sir? Hey, Mark, you there?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah, no problem. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, congratulations on the new show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you for serving from one veteran to another.
Well, thank you for your service. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And I did work for a short time with the post office, which probably doesn't have a lot of bearing on this. But what I really want to talk about was a lot of people are clamoring for mail votes. Well, we already have that, and it's secure. It's what they call the absentee ballot.
You know? Right. No, I think people are confused, and then they try to equate the security of the absentee process with just massively giving people ballots, and it's obviously not the same thing. But this is the debate we have. We actually waste time arguing with people that will preface their argument with that they don't have all the facts. And so it's an emotion-based argument, and it becomes partisan when it's really just, you know, let's actually have a point of view and stick to it. I mean, you're not even talking apples and oranges. You're talking about, and again, no one's blaming the postal service. If there is fraud that's going to be committed, it's going to be outside of the postal service, of course. But if you deliver,
necessarily the organization,
right? But I'm saying this isn't an indictment on the postal service at all.
No, but the problem is that by mail-in only, okay, there's so many opportunities for fraud. Okay, you know, it was mentioned before in the program. It's sent to people who have moved because they didn't do their their due diligence in notifying the post office, and those people take that thing and just send it in and sign these people's names. You know, there's a part of this that's wrong anyway. You know, there's been a debate for a long time about when you go in and vote that, you know, you should have show your photo ID, and they don't want that because it's voter fraud. Well, you can't buy liquor. You can't
do anything. You can't travel without a photo ID. It's inherently racist to say that a demographic of people, thank you, Mark, for your service and postal service and your military service. It's inherently racist to say that a person, because of their zip code or because of their skin color, does not have something that you have. Because what? I mean, like, the other thing is internet. There are far more rural people that don't have internet than people in the city. I mean, you're telling me that young kids, depending on their zip code, aren't going to have access to the internet? Of course they are, right? I mean, we want to improve broadband. We want to improve services and infrastructure. But the argument that somehow black people don't have photo ID is outrageous. Or the only reason they would have photo ID is to get food stamps. What are you saying? That the only reason why black people would have identification is to get something free from the government? How is that statement made by anyone claiming to not have a prejudice in their heart? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's the same argument that if a police officer is by a precinct, black people won't vote there, implying that every African-American who sees a police officer automatically recoils in fear and runs away. That's inherently racist to make those statements, and yet they're part of our political discourse. While one side is pointing to the other in their racist heart, the other one makes blanketed statements like that. But we're also talking about sports, and we're talking a little bit about music in the top three.
A little breaking news right here, David, for you. Bowling alleys can open starting Monday, according to Governor Cuomo, and the border crossing closure extended through September 21st.
So you can't go to Canada Bowl.
No.
But you can stay right here and bowl.
You can bowl, just can't go to a gym.
So it took, 6 months to determine that bowling was okay?
I guess it's 6 months. How much longer till gyms can open? That's my question.
Well, yeah. I can
food
understand.
When you bowl?
That's a great point. Do you have to order food? Because when I bowl, I drink.
Yeah, most people do.
So.
Wow, so that's a...
So starting
sterilizing,
Monday.
Yeah, that's crazy. Bowling is open Monday.
Yes.
And the border is closed until September 21st.
Yes, yes.
All right, got it. Pat, in the cell phone, what do you think?
Here's what I think, David. The president had put together a voting fraud commission. He appointed every member of it, and it disbanded just 11 months after it began because they found no systemic voter fraud. Additionally, since you want to be fact-based, most of the secretaries of state who administer voting in the 50 states are Republican, and they've issued a statement saying,
right, but Pat, but I sense like this, like an attitude from you when we're just having a conversation about it. So let's just like pump the brakes and just have a conversation. All right.
David, I have no attitude.
But you said facts. It has to be facts. But that was ridiculous. Pat, listen to me. Have we ever voted 100% with a mail-in process?
And we don't know that we will this time.
I'm just saying, have we ever done it?
No.
Okay, so it would be absolutely without any connection to point to an investigation that was done before a process was completed or proposed that's never happened before. So he could have had 45 commissions. It wouldn't identify fraud in a process that hasn't occurred yet.
Yeah, David, you could keep talking over me if you want, but...
I was finishing my point. I was saying, would you agree with me that it's hard to find fraud in a process that hasn't occurred?
I would agree that you're trying to conflate the issues.
I'm not trying to conflate the issue. You pointed to a fact pattern that said that the President of the United States has done a bunch of commissions, and then you, before that, said this has never happened before.
First, David, I said that the president appointed a commission to look at voter fraud. That's what I said.
Okay.
Not mail-in voter fraud, but voter fraud.
Okay.
Found none. I will point out...
But you're not going to imply that because a commission didn't find voter fraud that it doesn't exist.
What I'm going to imply, David, is that in order to get, or what I'm going to state, is in order to get an absentee ballot anywhere, you have to call your local board of elections.
Right.
They send you a form. So when they call, they don't know if they're speaking to David Bellavia or not, and they send that to whatever address you tell them to send it to.
Right.
Whatever address that And then you send a card back attesting that you're that person, and then they send you the ballot.
Right.
How is that any? So, David, do you think the people that request
how many people last year? Just I'm not asking for facts here. I'm just estimating in your mind. How many people ordered absentee ballots during the June COVID election?
I have no idea.
Okay, let's just make up a number. Let's say 150,000 people in Western New York did that.
Okay.
How many people are eligible to vote in our area? Let's make up a number. Let's say 650,000.
Okay.
So would you say that it was probably a greater chance that shenanigans could occur by Republicans or Democrats if you had 30 to 40,000 ballots that were returned to sender or just sitting around in a warehouse somewhere?
I would agree that there's always the opportunity to exploit the system.
Okay, so but let's just pretend that we didn't argue for 4 years that a foreign country did exactly that. I mean, the argument is that a foreign country came into our election and played with it, and we got a candidate who became president who may not have had Russia not played with it. Don't do the music yet. Can I go one more minute? So wouldn't we want to be more careful to not allow that to come in?
Right, and especially in New York State, I'm sure you saw that in a recent election, 6,000 ballots were not counted because the signatures didn't match exactly.
Right, and so I would say that that's proof that even if you have a presidential commission, things can happen. Pat, thank you for the call, thank you for your spirit, and thank you for hanging in there. You have the last word. We are going to take off, and we'll see you Monday when bowling can open officially.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.